Vaughn Clark is a prophet who has been showing what is going on behind the scenes in America that will shortly change our lives. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter with Vaughn Clark. Now, Vaughn, age, what, 4 years of age? You tried to kill yourself. Did you realize what you were doing?
No, you know, foolishness is in a child's heart, and I took a large box of kitchen matches into my father's workshop and was systematically dropping one lit match after another into a 10-gallon can of gasoline.
So what happened?
Well, eventually, you know, the first few the gasoline put out, and then finally one took, and a flame shot up through the gas can, and it started to make noises and expand. I got very afraid, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, very, very forceful but gentle, and a voice spoke to me and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't ever do that again." And the gas went out.
This wasn't your imagination?
No, it was not my imagination. I know that it was either an angel or a visitation from the Lord Jesus.
But then you kind of went on to be a parent's worst nightmare.
My exact words, and I found out when I was 18 that my poor father had twice as much life insurance out on me as the rest of the family put together. And when I asked him about it, he said, "Well, son, I love you, but nobody can live like you do and last for long, and we want to get back some of the money we've blown on you."
Well, did you go on to college?
I went to college. I had gotten into drugs before I went to college, and alcohol, and, you know, the lifestyle of the 60s, and, you know, got pulled over into a degree of the occult and just the crazy lifestyles that were going on at that time, and searching and looking and, you know, trying to find a place for myself, and had decided that I was going to solve the problems of mankind through education. And
Of course. Well, what changed your mind?
Well, you know, if you really are an objective person and you say that you are and you have normal intelligence and you begin to see that everything you're doing is a dead end and you see the death that is in the lives of people around you and you can look down the road and see people doing the same things that you are, you know, 10 or 20 years down the road, and that they're more miserable than you are, and that everything that you've touched, you know, falls apart, then it kind of gets your attention.
Now, you were at one of these wild parties,
and
something happened to you spiritually.
Well, actually, it was my birthday party, and there were people there from all over, I suppose, the United States. People from a lot of different states were there, and wild party going on. Anything you could dream of taking place, and I was sitting there with people around me, and you know, I was high and had been drinking and had a drink in my hand, and all of a sudden my eyes were open, and I know it was by God, but just to the evil that was around me, the lives of the people there, what they were doing, how shallow, how phony, you know, really how worthless I was.
It's almost like a spiritual cloud was removed,
right,
and you could see truth.
Right. And I just looked at somebody in midstream in a conversation. I said, "God help me." And they said, "What did you say?" And I said, "God help me, because if he doesn't, nobody else can." You know, and I can't say that I became a Christian then, because I was extremely rebellious and very hard-hearted. But it just really started a period of time where everything that I thought was important in my life was unveiled. And it was the most miserable experience that I could ever imagine.
Eventually you talked to a pastor.
Yes. What precipitated it is that someone that I knew rather well, I was told I was at another party, and I heard people laughing and making fun of this young man. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, haven't you heard that he became a Christian? He's a Jesus freak." And it's weird that something just rose up inside of me. I said, "Leave him alone. You know, God is real. You know, just because we're not living the way we should doesn't mean that he's wrong. You just leave him alone. Well, that, you know, that was completely out of character for me. And I ran into him. In fact, I prayed and I said, God, if you're real, I want you to show me where this young man is. And I actually saw myself going at such and such a time to such and such a place and that young man being there. I suppose it was a vision. And the next day I did exactly what I saw and he was there. And I began to talk to him. And I just asked him what happened to him. I said, I need help. And he said, if you're serious, he said, I want you to go to church with me. Well, curiosity got the best of me and I didn't even wait. I went to the church. And I asked to talk to the pastor and I was shocked. It was a man that was almost as young as me, and began to ask him questions and to talk to him. And over the course of the next several days, a lot of things happened. It's a strange thing, but when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a person, when God begins to open a person's eyes, it's the strangest thing, but Satan will make sure that every evil thing that they've wanted will start to come to pass. And that's what happened to me. All of a sudden, I was Mr. Popular. All of a sudden, people that couldn't have been bothered with me, you know, were interested in taking up time with me, and there was a demand on me, and I was perceptive enough to know that, wait a minute, this wasn't happening last week, but it's happening now. And one of the things that I think people need to know is that, especially if you've been involved in sexual immorality, that when you start to make a move towards God, that Satan will make sure that the man or the woman of your dreams are right there in front of you to try to keep you from taking that step. And that relationship will last just long enough to mess your life up.
Now, you could see this, but how did you choose?
Well, I actually went to a church service. And again, you know, you'd have to understand the lifestyle that I lived. It was a lot of parties, a lot of drug dealing, you know, all kinds of sexual immorality. And there was another party that was going on, and people would just drink and do drugs until they were just, you know, comatose almost. And I said, I'm going to church. Well, of course, that attracted everybody's attention. They said, you're what? And I said, I'm going to church. And they said, you're crazy. I said, well, I'll be back at such and such a time. So I left the party. I went to church. And I thought to myself, I said, these people are insane. I'm in a cult. Because, you know, when I had gone to church, you went to church, and if you had crossed your legs in front of you and bumped the pew in front of you, it would have broken up the whole service. And here were people singing, raising their hands, and I thought, this is crazy.
Now, the drunken brawl party,
that wasn't
normal,
crazy.
But
going to a nightclub and acting like an idiot, that's not crazy. But to go to a church where people were doing something other than sitting in dead silence, that was crazy. And I said, this is the wrong place for me to be. I'm leaving. And just before I got up to leave, the pastor said, you know, we need to sing to God. And so they began singing in a language that I'd never heard before. And when they started to sing, it's almost like things just started to break down inside of me. I could just feel something just crumbling inside of me. And I was still going to go. And I was about to leave, and this voice spoke to me and said, whether it was an audible voice or something that I heard inside me, I cannot tell you. It was very real. And this voice said, if you leave now, you'll never hear my voice like this again.
Hold that thought, because you're going to find out how an amazing gift started operating in Vaughn Clark. We'll be right back.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to Vaughn Clark. Now, Vaughn heard a voice. Was it an audible voice?
I can't tell you. It was so real, Sid. I can't tell you whether it was inside me or I heard it out here, but it was very real. It was concrete.
And that voice said?
That voice said, if you leave now, and I was sitting in a church service, if you leave now, you'll never hear my voice like this again. If you leave now, you will never feel any guilt or remorse for anything wrong that you do. Because at this point, I was really eaten because my life was exposed in my own eyes. I saw every wrong thing that I was involved in. I saw it for what it was worth. I was a user and an abuser in every sense of the word. I discarded people. I hard-hearted, cold, cruel, in so many ways.
There comes a point if you say no to God enough
yes.
time, your conscience is literally seared. And that's what
voice said. If you leave now, nothing that you do wrong will ever bother you again.
Oh, wow.
And then the voice said, "This is the last time that I will ever speak to you in this way."
How'd you react?
Well, it's odd. I was getting ready to go anyway. And then something just happened. I can't imagine what, I don't even know. I know that it had to be just the hand of God, because I had a party waiting for me. I was a popular person. You know, when you're young, you can afford to be a gypsy. And so I was there, and that's the life that I lived. And I was going to leave, and something just melted inside of me. And at the same time, a battle started, because when I said, I literally went forward and I said, "I want Jesus." But a battle started inside of me, and this voice came out of me and said, "Don't hurt me." And so I knew that there was a spiritual battle, that I had enough perception to know that there was something in me that was wrong.
So what voice did you listen to?
Well, I actually went. I said, "I would like to receive Jesus." They took me into another room. They prayed for me. I received the Lord. They baptized me on the spot. I was completely ignorant about anything that was going on around me. When I came up out of the water, I heard music, even though there was no musical instruments that were there. And people were saying things to me.
What do you mean?
Well, at the time, I didn't understand what it was, but people were saying things to me about what God's plan was for my life. And now I realize that that was prophecy. But those things have come to pass
of the things they said?
Just how I would be a doctor for the Lord. And I thought, of course, I'd go into the medical profession.
Right.
But now I realize that it means being a healer. You know, someone that brings healing to the soul and healing to the body. And that I would go to other places in the world, and that God's hand was on my life to challenge, you know, the works of darkness and things like that.
What about the addiction to drugs and party and alcohol? And
Sid, I know that there are people that struggle. And my heart goes out to people. And it doesn't mean that they're any less of a Christian because they struggle. Now, there were other areas that I struggled in. But I was a 4 to 5 pack-a-day cigarette smoker of unfiltered cigarettes. Those went. I had been literally a problem drinker since I was 16 years old, where I would have blackouts and would appear to be completely normal, and actually, and I didn't know it at the time, but had serious liver damage from alcohol and drugs. And a doctor told me that I needed to quit drinking. I tried to quit drinking at 21 and started to have DTs, and so I decided to start drinking again, and you know, did drugs profusely, and all of that just went. You know, and I was bound to sexual immorality. That went, and it was almost like I lived in a bubble for a period of time. I just couldn't imagine. I literally walked for a year with the presence of God around me so completely that I don't think the devil could have touched me if he had tried real hard.
Tell me about this gift that God gave you of prophecy. I mean, I've seen it operate for nations and for
right.
individuals. How does this operate?
Well, you know, for a long time, Sid, I thought I was crazy. You know, after I became a Christian, asked Jesus into my heart, I would be in meetings and I would start to see things. I know that that one of the first things that ever happened to me, I had been a Christian less than a week. I had a vision of Jesus. And also had a vision about the end of my life. And it was a very frightening situation. I started having open visions, almost, and I when I say
open vision,
where you would be in a place, and all of a sudden you'd be in the same place, but everything around you would be completely different, and you were a spectator, you were watching it happen, and it was very frightening, and then it would change again. And these things started happening to me about great social upheaval in this nation and great trouble that was ahead, and this was in 1977 when this started. And I would know things about people.
Give me an example.
Well, let me give you an example. A friend of mine that was an older Christian said, there is a group of people who are into transcendental meditation. And I was in some of these things to a degree, and they're having a meeting on campus, and I'm going to go. Would you like to go with me?
A lot of people feel that's not a religion.
Right, but it is. It's very much a religion. And these people that were here presented it as a part of Christianity. They said that they all attended churches, and it was just a way to get closer to God. And something just happened to me. And here I was a very young Christian. And when they were closing the meeting down and started to go into a trance, I just sprung up and I found myself saying something to them like this is an abomination in my eyes, and I'm going to hold you accountable for the innocent blood of people that you're deceiving through this abomination. And it just broke the whole meeting up, and this woman came up to me and she says, how dare you? How dare you do this? How dare you? And I said, you're hysterical. And she said, I am not hysterical. And I said, well, yes, you are. And what's more, 3 days ago, you were more hysterical than this because of what's going on in your household. And she broke down and she started to weep. And she came to me and she said, what's going on in my house? I said, you're having trouble with your daughter and your husband's a homosexual.
How did you know that?
I just knew it.
What did she say?
She broke down. She became a Christian. She got saved on the spot because it was true. And, you know, sometimes it's not as dramatic as that, but...
I tell you what, Vaughn, hold that thought. We'll be right back. I want to see what God's showing him about the United States of America and really the world. Don't go away. Someone asked me the other day, can a good, religious, observant Jewish man that does not believe in Jesus, when he dies, will he go to heaven? And this was my answer. First of all, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one, Jew or Gentile. So will this person that isn't good go to heaven if he's practiced traditional Judaism, the Old Covenant, as he understands it? Only if there's the shedding of blood is there forgiveness of sin in the temple. No temple, no animal sacrifices, because our sacrifice has come. The shadow was the Lamb. The reality is Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to Vaughn Clark. Now, Vaughn, the Lord has entrusted you with a gift. What are you seeing as far as the future of the United States of America? Where are we headed? Where are we right now?
Well, I believe right now that Jesus is a stumbling block to the church.
Wait a second. To the church?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
For all practical purposes, we have a false or synthetic model of Christianity in America today, where ease is an indication of success, the lack of opposition is an indication of what God wants. If I feel good about doing something, then that's the will of God. But if I don't want to do what the Bible says to do, then I have an option. Obedience is optional. We are not disturbed about the problems in our society per se. We honestly believe that favor with God means that everything goes right in your life all the time. If someone expects us to do something that's hard, then all of a sudden that's controlling, or that's not the will of God, because we've created this mindset where God is like me. He thinks like me. He wants what I want. He agrees with me. And if I'm hearing a voice or I'm hearing a word spoken to me that disagrees with what I want, that has to be the voice of the enemy. That has to be the voice of Satan. And you know, we act like the Garden of Gethsemane was convenient for Jesus, and that he had pom-poms on out there, that the cross was not difficult. And we're coming into a place where, just like Mary was told by Simeon, you know, a sword is going to pierce your heart. And our heart is going to be pierced. The cost of our faith is about to be presented to us in this nation.
What is going to happen in this nation?
Personally, and this is my personal belief of what I believe that God has shown me, there's going to be a tremendous spiritual awakening in this nation, and the church will be oppressed by the government of the United States of America. Socially and politically, I believe that we are exactly where the Weimar Republic of Germany was in the late 20s and the early 30s, and the media and the government are villainizing and propagandizing Christians in the same way that Jews were in Germany. And spiritually, I believe that we are exactly where Great Britain was at the turn of the last century. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the middle and the lower classes, and on the upper classes and the nobility, there was a tremendous occultic outpouring. And the same thing is happening today in this nation. You know, the upper classes and the intelligentsia and the elite and the government is going headlong into the New Age movement and into occultism. And I believe that there's a great awakening among the common people of this country, and it's just like it was in the day of Jesus. The people, the common people, loved Him, but those in positions of authority despised Him.
What do you believe is God's opinion about the flaunting of homosexuality, abortion?
Well, there are two issues that I vote on as a Christian. I don't care about the name of the party, but the things that bring judgment on a nation is the shedding of innocent blood and the exaltation of perversion as an accepted way of life. God loves the individual. He redeems people out of every sin. Homosexuality not being any different than any other sin, or murder, which is what abortion is, than any other sin. But we have embraced these things, and not only have we become tolerant, but there's an agenda to force these things down the throat of the American people, and God despises this, and I believe that we're in the beginnings of judgments already because of these things.
Now, we happen to be doing this television show in Orlando, Florida. Has the Lord shown you anything about this city?
Yes, sir. In 1994, I was driving through Orlando and had an open vision while I was driving. It scared me so desperately that I almost wrecked the car. But the open vision that I had of this city is that for 6 months, in a time of social upheaval, that this city would be under martial law with military checkpoints at every road leading into and out of the city. And for a period of 6 months, the only people that could go and come freely would be military personnel.
You see this happening in other areas besides Orlando?
Sid, as far as details, you know, the Lord shows me some things that I know because He speaks to me, other things I get by natural information. But we are headed for a time of upheaval in this nation that is so deep and so intense that the only thing that we can equate it to would be the Civil War. But I believe that everything that we know and embrace as normal life and what we expect as Americans is going to change radically in the next few years.
And what about our current 20th century American Christianity? How's that going to change?
Well, in the light of biblical Christianity, Sid, and in the light of Christianity in other parts of the world, and see, we're deceived to believe that we are the zenith, that we represent the very best focus of God in Christianity. Americans are notoriously ethnocentric. But spiritually speaking, we are babes. The strength of the American church is that we have good teaching and we are a very generous people. But we have become very idolatrous, and I believe that we're a lot like Israel was when the Southern Kingdom was very weak militarily, very prosperous financially, very reprobate spiritually, but the Northern Kingdom had already gone into captivity. And I believe that we're living in the book of Jeremiah. I believe that there's a great abscess on the American soul. I know that the night that our president was elected in 1992, God spoke to me, said, "I put him in office to expose government, to the American people. He said, this election will not be the test for America, but in 1996, I'm going to expose the heart of America. And so for 4 years, God exposed all the evil and the corruption and the wickedness in government. And in 1996, American Christians exposed their heart.
That's what I understand. So what's going to happen now in, say, the next election?
Well, there's a scriptural principle involved that when people love idols, that God will speak to them according to their idols. There's also a spiritual principle involved that when people deny the truth, that they will say, peace, peace, where there is no peace, and trouble will come on them suddenly. I do believe that God loves this nation. I do believe that God is not finished with America, but I believe that we are going to be troubled and challenged as no other generation as Americans ever have.
Well, what about you? When all this turmoil is going on, are you going to be troubled and challenged, or are you going to have intimacy with God? Your money won't help you. Your stored food, your rifles, they're not going to help you, no matter what you think. There's only one thing that's going to help you, and that's intimacy with God.
Yes.
Through the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I would cry out right now. I would ask God to forgive me of my sins. We've touched enough sins right now that you can be repenting even now. And God, if you repent, will forgive you and will wash your sins away. And then say, I'm going to make you Lord Jesus of my entire life. Start reading that Bible. Get as close as you can to the Lord. Now, not later. You don't know what will happen later. Now. Now is the time.